basketball team and a hockey baseball team.
You know what I got in my front yard, Patrick?
What is that? A squirrel?
Oh, got plenty of those.
Okay, a coyote.
Rutting marks from a buck.
Really?
Well, they it's the rutting season.
Okay.
They plow the yard.
Joe is showing them how to do that.
They're out looking for girls. out looking for girls.
And they must sense one was around because they just tear up the sod and stuff goes flying. It's in a couple of yards around.
Yeah, they have no self-control.
No, none.
here it is.
Even amongst the bucks. Yes. Undefeated.
Current conditions.
Right, it is. They will kill each other. They will run. They will put their heads down and run into each other for an hour
Companionship.
Okay, but
a little bit of companionship. But the thing about them is they can take over like a harem, you know, if they win the battle. They can take over the whole deal. So it's just they're not fighting over one gal. Sometimes
they sure as hell tear up yards. I'll tell you that.
Oh, really? That's amazing. Yes. So who diagnosed this for you?
A neighbor was showing me his marks, and I said, "Damn it, I got the same marks." I went back and looked. Sure enough, so you can see almost the hoof prints.
So what are they doing? They're just.
It's part of the
pregame. He went with the three-prong hoof there.
Were they fighting in your front yard?
No, I think it's so they get themselves jacked up.
They're getting ready for the fight.
They're getting the pregame going.
Yes, right. So it's you know what I used to call those?
They get themselves pumped up.
I used to call those urges. They get urges.
But see, here's a nice yard. Let's wreck this one.
But see, this is where we've separated ourselves from the animals.
But if you were in California, you wouldn't be able to see the rut marks because the grass would be that
high.
You can't cut it.
The grass would be high and nobody would be, so it wouldn't be a problem.
But humans draw the line, though. At some point, you know, when those guys are fighting it out for the gals, one guy will say, "She ain't worth wrecking the lawn for.
No,
getting, you can have her."
Getting rutted to death, having somebody run into you.
You know what's going to be great is we always are getting new listeners. We're discovering that, you know, with the advent of our YouTube channel and everything else. And people are going to meet. Oh, man, I wonder what they're talking about after that big Vikings game.
Yes. Packers finally win.
Monday Night Sports Talk.
Yes, like,
they're talking about bleeping deer.
Well, that wasn't a very powerful victory, the Viking victory. Wasn't very powerful.
You know what? Once again, they were fortunate they were playing the Detroit Lions, who even when they pull out the game, still figure out a way to lose
they
it.
Do.
Right? Right. I mean, you just got beat by a 66-yard field goal in the same manner. You cannot play half-ass prevent defense with 37 seconds left when you got these guys kicking field goals from 60 on end. What was the winner?
55, I believe.
Yeah. Those are 50-50 now. Those with most of the kickers, those are 50-50.
Yep.
You have to play the same defense that you played the whole game. You have to go after Kirk
you stopped him
and make him uncomfortable.
I got to tell you, though, you know, I'm a lifelong diehard. I was so rooting for it to go wide right just to see Zim's face one more time.
What they should have done is let the guy run the ball all the way down to the 25. Then he would have missed it.
Yeah, right. He's good when it's 50 plus.
He's tremendous from 50 beyond, from under being the 49-yarder. What did he do? He didn't get it.
Detroit
there.
Should have said, no, come closer.
Come on, Ray. Clock it right here. Right to here.
Yes. What did?
I'm looking for the the stats here. I didn't see the game.
Well, you didn't miss much. I watched quite a bit of it. I watched.
So Cousins was 25 of 34 for 275 yards.
Yeah, he threw one interception.
He was okay.
One touchdown.
He was okay.
But he's playing the Lions, who not only are the Lions, but they're the injured Lions. They have a bunch of injuries. And how you manage to
take it to the wire.
The last 2 weeks, they've scored 26 points in the modern NFL. That's impossible.
Well, Justin Jefferson had 110 yards, I think, receiving in the first half.
But then they went to the cloud defense, and we just stopped throwing to him.
I didn't know he had a cloud defense.
I don't know. I saw him catch two when he was covered, so keep trying him, right?
I would say, you know, when you need some yardage, throwing to him is probably not a bad idea.
What do you think the former MSU Mankato Maverick was thinking with 2 minutes to go in the game and he hadn't caught one and he'd been targeted once? That feisty little SOB. I bet he was. His wife was getting ready to go on Twitter and rip everybody.
Talking about Thielen?
Yeah. Right?
Why didn't he get thrown to him?
Cloud coverage. Pat just explained it.
He was a decoy.
Cloud coverage.
I don't know what it was. They tried to throw to him once. My favorite play, though, you got to see this, Joe.
Yeah.
My favorite play is they're what? Third and five, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they're trying to get a drive going. And they're going to direct snap it to Madison, the halfback. But we got to fake out the Lions. So Kirk Cousins pretends like the ball's hiked
over
his head.
Oh, no, wait.
He thrusts his arms up in the air.
Yeah.
Like, so the whole, like he's a pantomime.
Went way over my head.
It went over my head. And then he turns around, he stumbles. And I said, he looked like me tripping over the door stoop back in my drinking days. Yeah. He looked like, and then the Lions, meanwhile, the guy gets caught for a 3 yard. They just suffocated. What a, throw a 5 yard pass.
And you know who
we
have to blame for that particular play? Brett Favre. Favre is the first person that started doing that way back. And everyone thinks it's cute now to
root. Yeah, and especially with the fake.
The decoy.
What is that? I keep hearing snippets of, the Vikings are too conservative. Have you heard that one?
Well, they did.
Zimmer's conservative.
Zimmer and then Clint. We're now mad at Clint. We were happy with Clint a couple weeks ago, but now we're not happy.
Who do they got next? At Carolina?
At the Carolina. Yeah. If they had lost Sunday and then lost at Carolina, although Carolina came back to earth because the quarterback threw three interceptions and he isn't that good. But if they had lost those two, Zim wouldn't have made it through the bye week.
I don't think he would have survived had they lost yesterday.
Do you?
I think he would have
fired him before bye week.
That's true. Yeah, that's true because I forgot it's the bye week after that.
Yeah, but the bottom line is they aren't as good as we thought they were going to be, to me. They just aren't that good.
Okay, well,
the other part, too, is that's just I can't figure out. Their defense is almost at times just as bad as it was last year. That's the part I can't figure out.
Yeah, they don't stop the run a lot better than they did last year, which everybody they got as many fat guys as you could possibly get in there, and they
can they beat Carolina?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Can they beat Dallas?
No.
Can they beat Baltimore?
No.
No.
They can't beat the Chargers.
No. They might
be
the best team in football.
Yeah, they can beat Green Bay.
They can beat Green Bay here, not there.
Yeah.
Can you beat San Francisco?
No.
No.
And they're at Detroit again. How about Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh's not very good this year.
Chicago's playing pretty well.
Yeah, they're playing very well defensively.
Rams?
No.
What a day for Chicago. My friend Lavelle was excited as hell.
Oh, yeah?
The Bears won.
And the White.
The White Sox won. And the Sky won, too.
Oh, I didn't know the Sky won.
The Sky took a 1-0 lead in the WNBA Finals.
Did you see, by the way, the White Sox, I forget who it was, called out the Astros again? He said, man, it's just surprising how much better they hit at home than they do on the road. So
they got six runs yesterday.
Right, but I just thought that was kind of funny that we're going back to that well with the Astros again.
I know we've talked about it a million times, but these are some of the longest baseball games
Joe,
in history.
Yesterday, the quick one, the Whiteys and Whiteys and the Astros. 4:27, that right.
one.
Woo! 4:27. 8.5 innings. The other one, the 13-inner. 13-inning or almost 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
It's and the Tampa Bay Rays.
I have a question about that game.
Through 9 innings, the Tampa Bay Rays had used 9 pitchers.
So I have a question. I had a tirade that may or may not have been sponsored by Sierra Nevada yesterday. The ground rule double that was called after the Boston Red Sox outfielder basically kicked the baseball into the bullpen.
It's in the book.
It is in the book.
But what I thought was, I have always been under the impression that on a ground rule double, you can score a runner if it's clear and obvious that he was going to score.
Because I can't believe they didn't allow him to score. He was going to coast home.
Yes, yes. And why they said only 2 bases. But the option has always been there to score a runner. If he's in a position that he was,
because we all remember Jose Canseco with the ball off his head, that was ruled a home run.
Yes, Yeah, but this ball was on the ground. This ball.
Okay, so that's the difference. Okay.
This ball
okay.
that hit the ground. Otherwise, if it comes off the fence, hits the guy in the chest, still in the air, and goes over the fence,
then it's
I
a
think
home
it
run.
Is a home run.
Okay.
Yeah, which would have been quite the play.
Oh, I had a tirade. I was so mad about that call.
So as we speak, Milwaukee's playing at Atlanta.
It was 0-0. I'll see if I can find
Brewers
your score.
Have no hitting.
At 2:30, Houston is at Chicago.
Yes. Which means, Joe, go to the bank. Go, go take a walk.
Yep.
Drink or mow the lawn.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be the fifth inning when you get
there. Tampa Bay at Boston at 6 p.m.
Yes, that's it. I'm looking forward to that game.
And then Frisco at L.A. 8:30 p.m.
I'm afraid it's my Giants are in trouble. Giants, they managed. Logan Webb was great, but I don't know. So I got a report on my visit to St. Thomas homecoming. Mm-hmm. On Saturday.
Yeah, they'll Valparaiso.
I went over. They were playing Valparaiso. They had a crowd of, they have originally announced 6,000-something, and then they made it officially 7,000-something, overflowing. And I parked over on Marshall about 12:15 or so. So I walked by some houses.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some pre-homecoming hijinks mm-hmm. taking place in these yards.
Mm-hmm.
And
just as the way America intended it, damn it.
And there a lot of indiscriminate hollering for no reason. You know, it didn't sound to me like there was a reason in the conversation.
Okay.
But there was some, if I was the father of a...
Which I am, a senior. Woman, Sophia young, was there at one of those houses.
If I was a father of a young woman who was just maybe starting her college career at St. Thomas, I'd be nervous. Because there seemed to be some alcohol being consumed by people who weren't of legal drinking age.
Well, answer me, puzzle me this, Sherlock.
Yes.
How many of those kids do you think actually went to the game?
I think most of them, because it was like a Wisconsin game.
Mm-hmm.
It filled up about the end of the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. After.
What was kickoff? What
down
time?
Down in the ends at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, okay.
How's that D1 press box?
Same as it always was. I tweeted out that same
still
piece
got the
of
same bugs,
crap.
Huh?
Yes. I said we've had families of wasps, hornets, and bees who for generations
just keep, have said like UST, keep coming back.
This is our house.
Home. This is our
they're
home.
Alumni.
Yes, they are. They got the old crevices in there and then here they come. There you have it. They haven't spent $4 on the place. And
as you're overlooking these beautiful buildings that they have, and it's still just the
shed. I think now this is obviously it's homecoming, so that helps, right? And it was a gorgeous day too. That helps. Yep. But I think they've sold this. Now it's not St. John's. If it would have been St. John's, it would have had 10,000 there and would have. But I think they've sold this to the students. The switch from the MIAC.
The D1?
Yeah, the difference is you're not going to get any visiting fans.
Who did St. John's beat? It was
50-0 Augsburg.
Well, isn't St. John's going to face this same pressure from the MIAC?
Well, I mean, it's the MIAC. You know what they've done?
What?
They got rid of one good team, one very good team, and added two lousy ones.
Mm-hmm.
St. Scholastica got beat 72-7 by Gustavus.
Holy mackerel. That's a St. Thomas score.
72-7 by Gustavus. And they got St. John's coming up. That'll be 100 if they want it to be.
Yeah.
And McAllister.
Yeah.
That's who they added, McAllister.
Was that game in St. Peter Saturday?
No, I believe it was up on, it was at Mulaski Stadium. See, St. Scholastica doesn't even have a stadium. They play some of their games at Duluth and some of their games at the public school stadium.
Okay.
They have no facilities. They do not belong in this league at all.
Did they even have a football team prior to this year?
Yes. They had one that was a powerhouse in the UMAC for a while.
Oh.
And then their coach quit.
What the hell is the UMAC?
St. John's beat them in the playoffs 90-0.
UMAC?
St. Scholastica.
What is the UMAC?
Upper Midwest Athletic Conference. Martin Luther, little school in New Ulm.
It used to be the Twin Rivers Conference.
Yeah,
is that right?
It's the UMAC now, and it has been for a while. And they have a hard time putting a football conference together. Well, Crown, out in your country.
Sure, yeah.
They're in the UMAC.
Oh, they are? Okay.
That's...
We
Yeah. Even by UMAC standards, Crown is struggling. But I gotta give you this headline. I gotta find it on my Twitter account. This is from the Saint Scholastica. Where is it? Come on, show me my Twitter. I didn't bring my glasses, which is always a problem. Okay.
It is 0-0 bottom of the fifth, by the way, in Atlanta.
The damn Brewers pitch like great, and they can't hit. All right.
Here we go.
Where the hell is it? Come on.
I thought he was going to complain about my eyesight. I said, those are just cheaters. Those are drugstores.
Hey, how about our soccer team, man, last night?
Yeah.
They gave up three goals while they were long-handed. The other team was down a short. Come on. They were down a man, and they gave up three goals.
I have yet to be over to that soccer stadium on a nice night. Yeah, I really can't wait.
Beautiful. The only thing thing wrong with it is they're playing soccer. Yeah. Where the hell is this thing? I gotta find.
That's what's wrong with it. Is there?
Well, I'm on your account. What are you looking for?
How about this Breland man? He's a beauty, huh?
Ooh. His Pro Football Focus ranking was at 103, and after the contest yesterday, he is now 109 out of 112 eligible cornerbacks. That's how bad he has been playing this year.
But he's still taught here. The headline on the Saints.
Here we go.
This headline on the Saints Scholastica website: Saints unable to get things going against the Gusties.
Really?
72-7.
Ooh.
So Sinker, who used to be at McAllister, told me about a headline in the Mac Daily, which celebrated Mac's rottenness. The headline said, Scott score first. Concordia rallies for 91-7 victory.
That's almost brew-like, isn't it?
Yes.
We scored first.
But the best one ever was Kurt Brown was the editor over there.
Yep.
And when the losing streak was going, you know, they lost national record 50 in a row. And they beat, and Tom Hosier came in. He was his second year's coach, and he was a hardcore redneck hard. And they beat Mount Scenario, a little tiny Catholic school, a school that was defunct in 2002. It stopped playing. This was 1980. And they beat them 17-14 on a last-minute field goal. And the Mac Weekly wrote like three graphs on the winning, the losing streak ending, and suggested that the kick was wide left or something.
So their own school paper was ripping all the time.
Yeah, making fun of them, yeah. So Hosier writes a letter to the editor of the Mac Weekly.
I'm remembering this.
Yeah, Mac. Well, and accuses the staff.
Yeah.
Of using advertising proceeds that the Mac Weekly for marijuana and cocaine.
Huh.
And Kirk Brown wrote an indignant response saying, "We have never used any advertising proceeds for cocaine."
I remember that whole story.
Yes. Yes. Sinker said they used to say, "We don't have a drug problem at McAllister. There's plenty for everybody."
We never used any advertising proceeds for cocaine.
They just got the precious new president at McAllister.
Oh, even more precious than the predecessor?
You're double whammy here, I think, right?
Let's see if it's in this paper. A lot of boxes were checked on this one.
LBJT.
I don't know that.
Oh, speaking of that, Joe.
There were a couple of boxes checked, though.
First female Latino.
That's what it was.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Suzanne M. Rivera was inaugurated Saturday as Mac's 17th president and the first woman in Latino to lead the school. All right.
Well,
speaking of that, Patrick had mentioned the LGBTQ. Jordy sent us a note, Joe, and this is from the trusted news source, the Babylon Bee.
Right.
Experts predict the LGBT acronym could stretch around the earth three times by the year 2050.
I saw that, yeah. Oh,
that's pretty good.
That is, by the way, the president of your university, Julie Solomon?
Yeah.
Is she a doctor, by the way? Is she doctor?
I'm sure they're all doctors.
Dr. Solomon, yes.
Well, during a break in the first quarter, there was an announcement that Julie was there and a long tribute to her fantastic leadership.
Wonderful.
And asking the crowd. I think Julie approved an announcement for Julie's fantastic leadership.
I approve.
Yes.
Stamp the approval.
Did she read it herself?
No, but I think it came with the approval of the high administration that she's doing just a magnificent job.
You inspired me, by the way, Patrick. I took in number one Mankato versus number two St. Cloud on Saturday night at 6 o'clock.
Really? We got beat 3-1.
Yep. Huh? I had a wedding Friday night. Otherwise, I would have gone down Friday. But because I know you were going to be down there, but I couldn't believe how packed that arena was on Saturday night.
You know what? God, I worked in St. Cloud. I love the place. But St. Cloud's downtown sucks. It's
old Division Street.
They just put building. If somebody wanted to have a little development, they just let them close off streets, right? I mean, they got buildings sitting in the middle of the streets. You can't find anything downtown anymore. You used to have a main street. Mankato's got her going. They got like 6, 8, 10 bars up in that street there. And
I will say this, having a firsthand account of Front Street on Saturday night about 4:30, 5 o'clock, she was jumping, baby.
Pre-game, yeah. it's good.
How long did you stay?
Well, a guy's got to have a couple before you go into the arena.
What did they charge for a beer at the game? About $6?
I didn't buy one at the game. I had a couple beforehand.
But they're walking around with cans of beer.
Which
could be dangerous.
Well, here's what's funny.
Yeah, if a hockey crowd got upset.
They didn't sell alcohol at that arena, which used to be called Midwest Wireless. I can't remember what it's called now. Until my junior year of college. So not until like 99, 2000 did they start selling alcohol there.
Well, it's in a situation like that when you're trying to finance a program, you got to take the dollars.
You absolutely got to
take the dollars.
But I haven't been in a number of years, but the changes they made, that's a great place to watch a hockey game.
You should go see the offices and the training facility and the locker room and everything. They spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
But they told Hastings, who's a great guy, when they hired him, that they promised him all these
upgrades?
All these upgrades. They didn't tell him he had to go out and raise the money.
My first ever Wild game, I was astonished to see people with, say, a Budweiser beer in a bottle. And I said to my brother, this is nuts. Somebody will get sued. They'll throw them. He said, plastics.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Plastics, yes, yeah.
That must have been about the advent of the plastic bottle era back in 2000, 2001.
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, you couldn't really sell the old broken beer.
Not at a hockey game.
Not at a hockey game. No. So our boys finally start Wednesday in Colorado, is it?
No, they're in Anaheim.
Anaheim.
Friday. It's Friday night.
But the opener's a week after that.
It's next Tuesday.
Right?
Yeah, a week from tomorrow. Yep.
Well, that's...
And we're excited. You know, Kenny didn't want Patrick to jinx it, but I think
they're good.
We'll get the Ruski back here, see if he's still polished.
You're at Anaheim Friday. You're at Los Angeles Saturday. And then they're off and back here Tuesday?
I believe so.
Tuesday against the Avs? Who?
I don't know.
I can't remember who they open up against. But if it's Nashville or... I can't remember.
Here's the deal. The Avs are the loaded team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starting goalie, Darcy Kemper.
Really? Yes. I thought he was with the Coyotes.
They let him go.
Really?
They got him from them. They had the Duber. They let the Duber go.
Yeah, who's between the pipes for the Wild?
Well, the guy that carried him last year.
Cam. What's his name?
Cam Newton?
No, not Cam.
Kempersoff.
Talbot.
Cam Talbot. Thank you.
Year. He had a great year. And they got, then Colorado spent no money for goalie. They got Kemper and they got some backup that's just a rookie who hasn't played. I got this info from Mr. Hockey Judd. I knew that Kemper was there. I didn't know he was the man.
My favorite Judd, and I was reminded this past week, is when Judd's getting all worked up over preseason hockey. That's my favorite Judd on Twitter.
He goes to every game.
Oh, he loves it. Yeah, it's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I finally did a text with Judd. It's preseason. Calm down. You're looking like me on social media.
Yeah, I was talking the other night. He said, you coming to the game? I said, I just read in the paper they called up 5 guys from Des Moines. You know?
Right.
That means they're going to play tonight. I don't want to go see 5 guys from Des Moines. I wouldn't go anyway. But
It is, Anaheim the 15th, and then the 16th, LA Kings. And then their home opener is against Winnipeg on the 19th.
Ooh, Ooh, wow. That's a little early to be playing Winnipeg. You hate to waste those Winnipeg games early in the year. You want them down here in the winter.
Plus, you want those coveted West Coast games where it's warm. You want those in January.
Do you know who's in our eight-team Northwest? No, we're not Northwest. We Northwest? We're Northwest, right?
I think so.
Pacific. You know who's in our eight-team Northwest division this year? The Arizona Coyotes.
Really?
Well, they were last year, too, weren't they?
No.
Oh.
Well, yeah, because of the change. But yeah. These we're back to the old divisions.
Are all NHL lid lifters Friday?
No, I think they got
We are some, in the Central. Some, we're in the Central in the Western Conference.
They got some, Joe, they got,
Wednesday, maybe?
They got some third. They got some opening night specials of defending cup champions. But the Crackheads are playing
28th.
The Crackheads are playing the second game on their national television. But ESPN, they're back on ESPN, which is great for the NHL.
Which means that ESPN will actually talk about the hockey.
Yes, they will bring it up again. And they have like four other outlets that they're tied in with ESPN, ABC-type elements. They're going to be on some ABC national games. And then they got... I don't know. What else is ESPN?
The Ocho?
No, I don't think the Ocho. Yeah, they probably don't have to put it on the Spanish language one. But they're going to have like a they're going to have hundreds of games between all the outlets. So
I discovered I have Major League Baseball Network.
Huh, you just discovered that now?
But not in the garage.
Oh, really?
Just in the house.
Well, the MLB Network.
Do I have Major League Hockey Network?
I don't know.
Major League Baseball has given up on their TV package to the point that they had a playoff game on an NFL Sunday on the MLB Network. Yeah. That was the outlet for it.
Wow.
The first game, the Rays-Red Sox game. Ooh. Was.
Yeah.
Yeah. They played the one that lasted.
Do they just realize they're not going to beat football, so what's the point?
The one that lasted for 2 days. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
By the way, speaking of that, so I was on MLB.com, and they have a story, gentlemen. When was your team's last playoff victory? MLB.com.
Ours was
2013.
The Twins?
It was
no.
Against the, it was against the 2004 first game against the Yankees.
ALDS game one, October 5th, 2004, against the New York Yankees.
And did we get hosed the next game on the Joe's double? Was
yes,
that the next
I'm still
game?
Mad about
I believe
that.
It was.
That's
that
my 1998 game? Gary Anderson.
Johan Santana throws a gem in a 2-0 win over the Yankees. But that's not the longest one. That's the second longest drought.
Okay.
Do you know who has the longest one?
The Lions.
this would be baseball.
Oh, baseball.
Yep. Yeah. Rook, you got a guess?
White Sox.
No. They just won the World Series.
They won the Series on 5, yeah.
Well, and Joe, by the way, the White Sox just won yesterday.
Yes, that's okay. Right.
All right.
Cleveland.
Because Cleveland was in the World Series.
Damn
it.
No.
It is the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, yes.
October 20th of 2001, the ALCS Game 3. That was the team that won, what, 116?
116.
Yeah.
116 and 46. Wow.
And they haven't been to the playoffs since, correct?
No, they have not. They almost made it, and then they lost the last two games this year. Otherwise, they would have been in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they got outscored by 50 runs, and were still in playoff contention, and which was made no sense whatsoever. But
are they one of those teams that has a lot of good young talent on the way too? Aren't they?
I got a few. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't focus on M's games. I watched more Giants this year than I watched anybody. But I was absolutely mystified
at
how the hell are they doing this?
Yeah,
but now that the Dodgers beat them up one game today, you know, now you go to game three and who am I breaking out? Scherzer. Yeah.
Where are we tonight? At Dodgerville?
We're at LA, yeah. Two games at LA, yep. So they got to win one, and to get it back to San Francisco, I don't think they will.
Nope, I don't think they will either. And if the Dodgers get on a roll, no one's beating them anyway. I don't think. Not even my Rays. But the Rays aren't even going to get past Boston. They're going to end up screwing this up.
Don't worry about it. They might.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, you know who I don't know if it became official, but the Red Sox potential starter for today's crucial game four? Wily lefty Martin Perez.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he was with them.
Yeah,
they can't start him in a playoff game.
Well, they ran out.
I guess they probably don't have any other options.
The guy they were going to start today had to pitch five innings yesterday, Pavetta.
So this morning I was reading Peter King's. He does that Monday morning quarterback deal, and he was just filleting Urban Meyer in it, basically. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, he got advice from Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy Johnson's 0-5 team, though, made one slight move that helped them. 32 years ago, today was the Herschel Walker trade.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Remember those high expectations in that first run where the shoe came off? Let's go.
I think he kicked it off on purpose just for dramatic effect.
You got Herschel Walker, you pick a shoe comes up. Oh, that was Alfred Anderson. That's right.
That was Alfred. That's
right. Yes. But if you would have surveyed the crowd leaving the Metrodome after that game, Mike Lynn was a genius, right?
Yes.
After the Herschel Walker debut against the Packers. Against the Packers, right?
Yeah, it was against Green Bay, yes. Yeah.
But it was a dumb f***ing play when his foot was, shoe was coming off, up the line screen. We were hollering, take timeout. We had a f***ing trap play called, and his f***ing shoe comes off.
Never
that ain't Bob Schnauker's fault. We have another f***ing trap play, and if Vinny picks up his f***ing feet, he walks in. Everybody booing the s*** out of him. He works his ass off. They put his picture up there, and the f***ers boo him.
We'll never tire of that.
No. As I told you,
I forgot.
In the Burns family, when you turn 15,
yep,
they play the Schnauker tape.
The unedited version.
They play the Schnauker. It's like a
what's? It's like a
grandpa.
It's like a bar mitzvah, a celebration,
right. Quinceañera, or something like that.
Welcome to the adult confirmation. Side of the family.
You're leaving the kids' table now.
Yeah, right. Yes, here's Grandpa Burns.
God, his sons-in-law thought he just Debbie Dad story. I told you out at Fort Snelling, and they're all, four daughters and the four sons.
Could you imagine having Burnsy as your father-in-law?
Well, I got to tell you, did I tell you the Iran one?
Oh.
Yeah.
You saw him in Iran?
And his son-in-law is the greatest guy in the world and thinks Burnsy's the greatest guy in the world.
Right.
But he's of Iranian descent.
The kid is?
Okay. The son-in-law was dating his daughter.
Right.
And Burnsy calls somebody in and says, hey, I got a question for you, such and such, she's dating this guy from Iran. Yeah. Aren't we at war with Iran?
He had to call in an expert.
The guy said yes, but not specifically him.
Yeah. But Burnsy had to call in a pro.
She's bringing Iranians and then bringing war.
Are we? The guy, I can't remember the son-in-law's name is. He's a great guy.
Mohammed.
He's been told the story, and he laughs harder at it than anybody.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Are we at war with them?
What a beauty.
Oh, God. He was football, then golf. Then the hell with the rest of it,
you know, guy.
Boating too. He had a boat out on the.
Did he coach anywhere after he left here?
No, God, no. That was it.
Okay.
91. He died. He was in his. How old was he? He had to be mid-60s, probably. Huh.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's a year older than Bud.
Can't even go to the bank today.
Oh no! If you say go to the bank, you're lying.
Columbus / Indigenous.
As our guy J.L. Coven said, it's Indigo Girls Day. When he did, what was he doing, the Trump impersonation? Yeah.
He died in May of 2021. So how old was he? He was, holy buckets, he was what, 80? Close to 80?
Who?
Jerry Burns?
When he gave up coaching? No.
No, I was looking when he died. It was just 80, last May.
He was 93. He was 93.
93. Like God a steel almighty. Trap you got there.
God, you're a math whiz, aren't you?
I didn't freaking study.
Do you ever, how old are your grandkids?
Yeah, they range from 20 to 1.
Okay, so like the 7, 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
You ever see them do math now?
Yeah.
The right answer isn't good enough.
No.
You got to show your work.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to my grandson, 2 months ago, and I said, well, Leanne, it was 7 times 8, right? 56.
56.
Right? Yeah, right. I said, he said, no, you got to show.
I haven't seen that part.
You got to show. You got to show how you get there. I said, yeah, you multiply 7 times 8, and it's 56. Boom. That's how you get
Boom.
There. You can't have the right answer. You have to
explain.
And if you show your work and get a wrong answer, you're you're going to be get more credit than if you just say
have the right
seven
answer.
Times age 56. I suppose they're afraid of the calculator, huh?
Yeah.
Google.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So, yes, Google. We're here, and we're celebrating. It's called Columbus Day. Another radical left, they were saying it's the Indigo Girls People's Day. And I said, no, it's not. Okay? You know, once you let them take away our great Columbus Day, they'll come for everything. They'll take Christmas next. You know, because that war on Christmas, we're still fighting it. And a Sleepy Joe in there. I don't even know if we'll see Christmas. I don't even know if we'll see Christmas this year. That's how bad it is. But as I always do on Columbus Day to honor Columbus, I have lunch at Sbarro's, one of our great Italian restaurants. And, you know, I order the a pepperoni pizza, because, you know, I'm using the accent because not racist and very worldly. But I go to Sbarro's and then I golf. I golf, and every year I use a Native American caddy, okay, to show sensitivity. So I go and I stop at Mohegan Sun Casino, which is, you know, Italians don't get their own casinos. We were nice enough to give them to other people. But we're racist, right? We're racist, far left. And I get a blackjack dealer and I say, are you Native American? And the person said, I'm actually Chinese American. And I said, close enough. You're caddying for your president today.
Close enough.
Close enough. Oh, God. I wonder, with not having Don around, has it hurt him?
No. I think
he's still plugging along.
He got a deal with somebody, if I'm not mistaken.
But he'll just come on and do stuff randomly as if I'm still on the other side of the fence or, you know, when I'm still laying in the weeds.
Uh-huh. Indigo Girls.
Indigo Girls.
All right. I have a hard time pronouncing indigenous, so
indigenous.
That's bad enough.
Because you're going indigenous.
I'm making it like four syllables, and it's probably only two. Huh?
Yes,
right? I have a added syllable problem.
Yes.
I do, yes.
Is it the number of amateur ophthalmologists in the Twin Cities?
Hey, what about, before we go, what about Zim and the cousins in exchange?
Zim was mad. I don't care what.
You think so?
When he gave him the push.
Yeah,
when he grabbed
I thought so.
When he grabbed him by the shirt, he was fine. But when he gave him the push, hard push, he was mad.
Really?
Do you think he was startled by cousins grabbing him?
I think the grab was okay. Because the grab,
okay, yeah.
You know, he's 65 or
right.
something. When you grab, he's feeling scared, but all of a sudden you gave
him
a push.
Wow, okay.
He gave him a two-handed push, and he was agitated for about
seven seconds. He looked mad. Like it. His face was mad.
Well, he's had a lot of health problems. You push him like that in a crowded sideline, he could tip over, hit his head on this turf. And
well, because the security
not
guard
know what planet he's
grabbed
on.
Him, too,
yeah, he got
after
in the way.
That.
Yeah, he was. I don't care what anybody says, and today I'm sure they'll
smooth it over.
Sugarcoat it.
Did anyone ask him about it after the game?
Yeah, and they were, no. I mean, he was brushing it off.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear any of it.
But just look at it.
Yeah, I did. I agree with you.
The video tells the truth.
It didn't look like fun.
No. Plus, he also might have thought we shouldn't be quite celebrating as wildly for beating
the Detroit Lions.
Lifting up the guys that missed twice.
When you're 10 ahead with 4 minutes to go and you stop them in their territory. And you end up having to kick a 55-yard field goal to win.
See, we did cover sports today.
Yes, we did.
And that's how Joe and Pat end the show.
I got the look, by the way. I forgot to mention this to you. Friday night, we were at the wedding, and I had the phone up there while they're giving the speeches
and
having the dinner. And she looked at me, and she said, what are you doing? Well, I was watching the Rays Red Sox game on my phone.
Yeah,
I got the look. I got
who was getting married? A relative?
I think you sent a picture of that, didn't you?
Yeah, I tweeted it out. Yeah. Yes, I
who
did.
Who was getting married?
The Faribault Lakers designated hitter Mitch Johnson tied the knot, Patrick.
I bet Mitch really cared if you were paying attention to the speeches or not.
In fact, he came up and said, what's the score?
See?
Yeah.
But a good baseball player getting married out of season.
That's right. You always till after Labor Day.
That's
right.
That's the Stearns County League rule, getting married out of Labor Day.
I got the look.
Okay.
Zach Wells has the look.
That's the look.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You got her.
Well, you still overachieved a grand.
100%.
Record. Yes, you did. I think she needs a clinical examination between the ears, but that's okay.
Monday Night Sports
Talk. See you later.
This is Patrick Gracie for The Canopy Group. Your kids are back in school, and when they get home, they do their homework, or they're supposed to do their homework. Why don't you do your homework? You have been with that same home and auto insurance company that has only one agent who represents only one insurance company for years. You deserve options. Let's face it, your insurance needs change as the years go by. Insurance companies' rates certainly change as the years go by. That is why the Canopy Group provides you with 16 options, not one, 16. Don't tell your kids, but you can outsource your homework to the Canopy Group. They will teach you how they find the best insurance coverage for the best price, not only today, but each and every year. Contact the Canopy Group at 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com and let them do the homework for you.
Hey, GLers, it's Reavers here once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And as you've been hearing over the course of the last couple of months, Josh asks you one simple question, and that's always, do you know what you own? You see, Josh's clients, they always know what they own. And Josh has found that most people that he meets with every single day, well, they don't. They absolutely have no idea. Josh has also seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds. And there are real instances of people paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that those bonds currently yield. So Josh begs of you, know what you own. And you'll hear from Mr. Money Talk later today here in Garage Logic to give you a specialized report on the goings-on in the market today. Trust is often overused and it's even harder to find. Please, you can take it from me that you can trust Josh. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation, and you do so by calling 952-925-5608. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
EcoFun has e-bikes in stock. And why is that important? Because every other bike retailer is out of stock and will not be getting new e-bikes until December or January. You can't even get one for Christmas from them. The weather is warming up, so if you are in the market for an e-bike, scooter, or ATV, go to EcoFun right now. EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will help you select the e-bike that is right for you, and they will deliver it to your front door in the metro area. Right now, EcoFun has Bentelli e-bikes and Yamaha Motor Assist bikes in stock. EcoFun also carries the full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a wide variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com and tell Tim that old bicycler Patrick Racy sent you.